Grammar Girl here. A fan who shall remain nameless wrote to me with this problem. Quote, in negotiations today, a union rep provided me with handouts of proposals she had labeled mute. Help! Unquote. Presumably, the union rep meant moot, M-O-O-T, not mute, M-U-T-E. And I'll help our poor embattled fan right after I tell you that this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/GG. That's audiblepodcast.com/GG. Moot is an adjective that generally means something that isn't relevant anymore. One of my favorite episodes of the sitcom Friends is when Joey says a point is moo.
All right, Rach, the big question is, does he like you? Right? Because if he doesn't like you, this is all a moo point.
Huh. A moo point?
Yeah. It's like a cow's opinion. It just doesn't matter. It's moo.
I never get tired of that. It's not very common to hear people think something that doesn't matter is moo, but it is quite common for people to think the word is mute. The correct word when you're talking about something that doesn't matter anymore is moot, M-O-O-T, especially in America. But you may be surprised to learn that it wasn't always so straightforward, and moot can carry a different meaning in other parts of the world. To find the origin of the word moot, we have to go all the way back to the 12th century, when a meeting or assembly of lawyers, or the place they met, was called a moot. As an aside, there's a Harry Potter tie-in here. Moot is the root of the word gamote, which meant assembly. Remember that moot was originally a noun that described a group or an assembly, so it makes sense that moot and gamote are related. Gamote is, in turn, one of the roots of the word Wetangamote. The Wetangamote was a national Anglo-Saxon body that advised the kings. It was something like a modern parliament or a legislative body. Well, in the Harry Potter books, the body that acts like the High Court for the wizarding world is called the Wizangamote, and it's modeled after the Wetangamote. So the word moot is related to the name of that wizard High Court in Harry Potter. But getting back to the main point, a moot was originally a group of lawyers or politicians, and they used items called moot horns or moot bells to call the assemblies together. Later, in the 16th century, moot started to refer to a group of lawyers or students arguing hypothetical cases. For example, you may have heard of law students participating in something called moot court. Well, when students started doing that, the noun moot also started to mean an argument. It's actually used on the title page of the Magna Carta. It reads, quote, with an almanac and calendar to know the moots, necessary for all young studiers of the law, unquote. Around the same time, moot took on a meaning as an adjective that meant an arguable or debatable point, and it still holds on to that meaning in Britain. But in America, the idea of students going through that academic exercise of trying hypothetical cases led to moot taking on the meaning of something that doesn't matter. That's its main meaning in America. But if you're writing for an international audience, you should be aware that it can also mean a point that's arguable or debatable, so be sure to make your meaning clear. And remember, whether you mean that something is arguable or pointless, the spelling is M-O-O-T. And as you know, this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. I've been listening to a fabulous audiobook for the last few weeks called The Girl Who Circumvented Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making by Catherine Valenti. I saw Catherine speak at a conference a few months ago and was intrigued by her explanation of the book, which she described as a story about a girl who, instead of being fixated on going home, like most children in fairy tales, jumps at the chance for adventure. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. Fairyland is filled with delightful language, and Catherine reads the book herself in a mesmerizing voice. It's as if the book was meant to be read as an audiobook. So go get a free audiobook of your choice at audiblepodcast.com/GG. I recommend The Girl Who Circumvented Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making. That's audiblepodcast.com/GG. Also, The Math Dude has a new book out, The Math Dude's Quick and Dirty Guide to Algebra. Algebra can be tricky for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be. Check your confusion at the door and let The Math Dude, Jason Marshall, help you in his new book. That's The Math Dude's Quick and Dirty Guide to Algebra. It's available for download on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. Finally, if you'd like an ad-free version of this show, there's an app for that. The Grammar Girl app is available for the iPhone, iPad, and Android for a one-time fee of $1.99. That's all. Thanks for listening.